It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and I appreciate you joining us. You each are very much appreciated. You each have a purpose today: strive for excellence and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. I'm so thrilled to have in studio with me today one of my great partners, and that is Chris Cantwell with Trans World Business Advisors. We're going to be talking about business in the second segment. Chris, it is always great to have you in studio.
Thanks, Kim. Good to see you and glad to be here.
It's early, but it's good to have you here.
That's okay.
And be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And I always like to say thank you to the people that I get to work with, and that is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. I really appreciate all of them as well. And I appreciate your help and support for the show. You can go to my website and contribute. We are truly an independent voice. We have full editorial control on guests, on subject, and we are committed to look at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom, and bring truth and clarity to these issues. And producer Steve, how are you doing this Tuesday?
It ain't Monday anymore, so I'm fine.
And be sure and check out our program over here. I brought it over to KLZ at the beginning of the year, and that is America's Veteran Stories. Just fabulous stories. Somebody reached out to me, one of our listeners, and said, "Do I have a CD of all of these different stories?" I'm like, "I don't, but that would be a good idea." But Steve, I know that you are really enjoying these and learning a lot from them.
Well, again, it is a treasure trove to stop and think about people many before they were even 20 years old who basically stood up, there was probably the draft was part of this, but still, once they were in, they did extraordinary things.
Standing against tyranny, and we actually, I never dreamed it, but we have a tyranny going on right now, and we need to stand. It's a little different, though. It's standing in this battle of ideas, and that is why it's so important, Chris, to get our brains around these issues so that we can engage with our friends, our family, and our colleagues about this.
Yeah, I agree, and I think a lot of this stems from people not listening, not understanding the consequences, just kind of going with the flow. And at the end of the day, it's to some degree, it's economics, too. There's just this lack of economic knowledge that people don't understand how the economy works.
And economic freedom and political freedom are so closely intertwined.
They absolutely are. And, it's why economics are not really taught in schools these days, right? They don't teach those things. They don't teach about business. They don't teach about personal finance. They just teach kids, what they think they need to know in terms of the collective and how we're all part of this big thing together. And it's those roots that we teach the people today that they don't understand how the economics really work, how this world really functions, what it means to have freedom and choices, right? I mean, what new choices is this new administration going to bring? They're not. They're going to take away choices. Energy choices, school choices, healthcare choices. Those things are going to be eliminated. People don't understand how great it is in this country to have choices.
That's for sure. That's another name for freedom.
Exactly.
You bring up an interesting point on that, Chris, and that is education. We only have a certain amount of hours in a day. We only have a certain amount of hours in a school day. And what we teach in curriculum, we have really gotten away from teaching our kids critical thinking. And that is absolutely imperative. As I've interviewed all of these different World War II veterans, I've had Dr. Alan Gelzo on from Princeton about the Civil War. And there's something in about Americans that kind of this making decisions on the spot. And that is one of the reasons that we have been able to stand against tyranny, is because we had we taught this critical thinking to these young people that then, as Steve mentioned, these were basically teenagers that stood against Hitler and saved freedom for the world.
Yeah. And they've rallied around the idea of freedom and patriotism and fighting for America. It was such a different culture than it is today.
This is going to be another show where we need 3 hours. Because we're touching on, I mean, I was 19 when I took that oath that every enlisted military man and woman takes. And I've told you this before, that phrase that says, defend the Constitution against enemies both foreign and domestic. In the next couple of days, that was kind of ringing in my head. It's like, well, of course all our enemies are foreign. We don't have no domestic enemies. Not so.
Mm-mm. Well, today, speaking of that, the impeachment proceedings begin regarding President Trump. And when we talk about domestic enemies, and that's really what they're trying to paint him as. And I'm looking at Chris, as you and I were coming up in the elevator, it's like about 1 year ago at this time, the economy was humming.
Yeah. Roaring.
And it was roaring. Unemployment for the black population, for women, for Hispanics, was at all-time lows.
Yep.
Home ownership in the black community had gone up 5 percentage points.
Yep.
Now, you tell me that is somebody who is trying to take down America. But when I'm looking at the policies now that are occurring regarding shutting down the oil and gas industry and, Chris, affordable, reliable, efficient, and responsible energy is so important.
Well, and think about the lower income communities, right?
Good point.
Like, you're going to make gas $4 a gallon. How's that going to make their lives better when they don't have transportation to get to where they
need
to go?
Well, they want you to get on the bus or the bicycle or the train. But that then limits their choices of where they can
Absolutely
work.
Absolutely it does. Yeah. Energy is so critical. Again, going back to the economy, affordable energy is so critical. I mean, think about these communities when we start having rolling brownouts like they do in California because there's not enough energy, and government is forcing the removal of a product that people demand, energy, and we're purposely making it more expensive. It just doesn't make any sense. It goes right back to the economic equation.
Well, and the other thing, now I know you're in business. Yeah, of course, you really are more in the small to mid-sized business, which these businesses, it seems like government has been kind of going after them as well. But you look at big business and big government like each other.
Oh, yeah.
So the electricity providers are just very cozy with big government because they are using policy to try to increase demand for their product, mm-hmm. while at the same time having the government try to shut down their competitors over here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's astonishing.
Yeah.
Big government and big business like each other. But,
yes, they do.
Let's go ahead as we kind of got right into it there. But my friends, remember, when you're talking with particularly young people, I think it's important to say to them, we look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom, and it's never compassionate to take other people's rights or their property or their freedom or their livelihood via force. Whether in the old days, Chris, it was weapons. Mm-hmm. But right now, it's policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, and fear.
Absolutely it is, yeah.
So let's talk about our quote for the day here, Steve, and that is from Lord Acton. He was the first Baron Acton, the 13th Marquess of Gropoli. He's known as Lord Acton. He was born an English Catholic historian, politician, and writer. He was born in 1834, and he died in 1902. And, of course, the quote at the end of the show is his very famous one. But this is what he said. The one pervading evil of democracy is the tyranny of the majority, or rather of that party, not always the majority, that succeeds by force or fraud in carrying elections.
Oh, please read that again. And this time, everyone focus. Listen.
Okay, one more time. By Lord Acton. And again, born in 1834, died in 1902. So what we're seeing here is nothing new. He said, the one pervading evil of democracy is the tyranny of the majority, or rather of that party, not always the majority, that succeeds by force or fraud in carrying elections. Each generation, Chris, I think, has to learn our history.
Well, you can't when you're trying to erase it at the same time.
That is the golden nugget of the day. You can't learn history when you're trying to erase it.
Yeah.
I think we'll go to break so that we can come back with Chris Cantwell and continue on with our conversation. In the third and fourth segment, we'll be talking with Josh Philip, and he is the award-winning investigative reporter with the Epoch Times and host of Crossroads. And, of course, we'll talk with Jason McBride down at the bottom of the hour. But before we do that, Hooters Restaurants is another great partner of mine, and they have five locations. They have Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, Loveland, and Colorado Springs. Go to my website. We have all of their February specials on my website, and just go to their sponsors, and then that'll drop down and click on Hooters. And they have to-go specials. They have a party pack to go. Wednesdays are Wings Day. You buy 20 wings. And those smoked wings, those Texas barbecue rib smoked wings, are like candy. They are so good. And they have kids seat free promotions and happy hours. So go to my website, Kim Munson, MUNSON.com, and all the information is there. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll continue on with Chris Cantwell with Transworld Business Advisors.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. In studio with me is one of my great partners, and that is Chris Cantwell with Transworld Business Advisors. He's in the business of helping people buy and sell dreams, is basically the way I look at it, because entrepreneurship is something that's kind of unique to the American experiment, Chris.
Yeah, that's really what America was about. And, you know, I always like to say that I work with people who create products and services that other people value because it makes their lives better. And that's what entrepreneurs do. They create a service or a product that makes somebody else's life better. There's demand for that product. People buy that product. They innovate. They innovate. They grow. They try to find new ways to make people's lives better. And then you have this government that's going the other direction and holding people back, saying, whoa, business owner, you're taking too much control away from the government.
Oh.
we can't have that. You're making people's lives better. They're not going to be dependent on us, government. We need them to be dependent on government. So there's quite a conflict between what a true business does and what government really wants and does.
I had Bob Woodson with the Woodson Center on last week, and we were talking about Lyndon Johnson and the Great Society in the 60s. And he said that was the first time really in America that we separated income from work. And that has created a whole bunch of problems. When people believe that they deserve something just because they're them.
Somebody told them so.
Yeah, instead of working for something, That is totally antithetical to the American idea. And we are seeing this play out to now where we are. These big stimulus packages and these checks to people, I'm super concerned about that, not only from the debt standpoint, but as kind of the underlying component of it's chipping away at these values of hard work and resiliency and all these things, Chris.
It's all about government dependency. the more people they can get to believe that they can't live without government, the more power these people continue to have. And that's the problem. And people are walking right into that trap, not even recognizing that that's the trap they're in.
Okay, Chris, so people think that socialism is about free stuff. That's what they've been teaching these,
yes,
many of our young people.
Correct.
Free college, free this, free that. But actually, socialism is not about free stuff. Free stuff is the carrot that the tyrants use,
right,
to get voted into office.
Right.
But ultimately, they have to have workers. And we've said this many times. Socialism, communism, and socialism is just communism light, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that you have to have workers in a free economy. You have to have workers. The difference is who gets to keep most of the fruits of the labor on that, Chris?
Yeah, in this case, the government. So
right,
while they sit there and tell you that the business owner is the evil person and the business owner is taking advantage of you, they're going to want the same thing from the collective now, mm-hmm, that is dependent on government. And they're going to want the collective to go out there and to do that work for the government so that the government can continue to take care of everyone else. So it's this philosophy of people are just going to go to work because they know it's good for the collective. They
right,
know it's good for their neighbors. They're going to get up in the morning, climb out of bed at 5:30, 6 a.m., hustle to work just so that they can feel good about themselves, that they gave all their work today to the government and the government's got their back and the government's going to take care of them. And why communism never ever works is because that isn't how it works. People that are uninspired, that just want free stuff from the government, they don't get up and go work.
Have you ever seen, now, we really didn't do many, I'm going to date myself, Steve, probably you didn't do very many group projects when you were a kid either. It was more individual. You got an A, a B, a C, a D, or an F. What grade did you normally get, Steve?
Let's not go there because it's not productive.
But we never really did group projects.
Let's put it this way. There was a reason I went into the military.
But you said that was a good thing for you, right?
Oh, yeah. Ultimately, it was the best thing.
Okay. But, Chris, when I started to see my kids do these group projects, I thought, I didn't really realize it, but this is kind of teaching socialism.
The collective.
And the collective got the grade, but typically about one or two of the kids did the work.
Yeah.
And everybody else didn't.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is so interesting.
So I spent a lot of time in the restaurant industry, and I was in one of our restaurants, and we had a little pre-shift meeting. And this was back in the election with Romney, and a bunch of the servers were talking about how great it's going to be, you know, the typical socialism, everybody share, community kind of thing. And I said, with deadpan, just straight looked at everyone. I said, hey, everyone, tonight, it's Friday night. It's going to be really busy. We're going to make a bunch of money. We're going to have a tip pool tonight. All the money that you make is going to go into one pool, and we're going to divide it equally among everyone else. And there were people that were like, that's, you can't do that. That's unacceptable. Because clearly there are some great servers that make, mm-hmm, a lot of money, and then there's some that just kind of go through the motions.
Mm-hmm.
I said, no, this is it. We're all going to – everybody puts their money into one big pool. We're just going to divide it by 12, and everybody gets an equal share. It's going to be an equal outcome. It's going to be a great Friday night. And they thought I was so serious and got so frustrated. And then I had to stop and say, so now you really want it that way? Where everybody has an equal outcome, not equal opportunity. And then they were just, you know, spiteful the rest of the night. But they got the point.
That is an excellent point. So let's move over here, talking about business. Patty has pulled a number of different articles, but I think the first one, this is from upi.com. The CBO says a $15 minimum wage would cost 1.4 million jobs, but it says it would boost 1 million out of poverty. That is a net loss of 0.4 million jobs. So 1 million, maybe getting a little bit more money, but 0.4 million don't have any work.
Yeah, and the other thing that they take into effect in this article is what it does to the cost of goods. Because businesses, all they do is turn around and put it on the customer, right?
Well, they have to.
They have to.
It's not because they're mean.
No.
It's because they have to.
And these smaller businesses, right, that is 95% of our economy are these small mom-and-pop Main Street businesses. They don't have huge margins. they just don't make this kind of money. They can't afford all of the, you know, when employees become their most expensive commodity because you got to pay them minimum wage and you got to pay them benefits and you got to pay them
And the benefits go up with a minimum wage as well.
Absolutely. All they can do is turn that price around to the consumer. So that starts the inflation and doesn't help anybody in lower income communities whatsoever when everything's more expensive.
But then the other thing is 0.4 million people would lose their jobs as well.
Oh, absolutely. And it's going to inflate how quick we use more technology to not have to have people in our businesses. Restaurants are a great example of that. And when you go to a fast food restaurant now, you order at the kiosk. You don't have that smiling 15-year-old who's excited to have their first job.
Their first job. Yes, I actually call the forced minimum wage the Youth Unemployment Act.
That's perfect.
Let's talk a little bit more. This is another thing. This is from the Business Journal. And it said that the business dissolution spiked in Colorado at the end of 2020. What are you seeing out there, Chris?
Yeah, so the businesses that were affected the most are obviously restaurants, retail, fitness, anything that's dependent on a lot of people in one area at one time. They just couldn't survive. And, you know, it's already really hard. Restaurants is one of the most difficult businesses to run. They
have such hard work.
It is. And you're so dependent on people. It's very low margins, ton of competition. It's just hard to execute a restaurant concept any given day of the year. And then you add all these elements on top of it. And then, you know, we roll right into 2021 and, hey, well, we're not going to take away any of the other force that we committed to in terms of raising the minimum wage and all these other mandates that they're putting on business owners. It's just choking these businesses. They just can't survive. And it's so sad and so frustrating to see. But that's the world we live in.
And we're talking about economic freedom and political freedom. And it is not the proper role of government to get in between the contract negotiations between an individual and an employer. An employer should be able to say, I can pay $12 an hour, and this is for $12 an hour, this is what you would need to do. And the employee can look at it and say, yes or no.
Yep.
I need a job. Hopefully, again, once we separated income from work and paid people not to work, that created a problem.
Yeah, absolutely it did. That's part of the problem with a lot of these restaurants, too, is they couldn't get staff. Once they could open back up again, they couldn't get any staff. Nobody wants to work. They're getting, quote unquote, free money from the government.
But it's unsustainable. When our young people are taught sustainability, hey, we need to have economic sustainability as well. Let's talk, just give us a quick update about what's happening with Transworld Business Advisors.
Yeah, so obviously the market's been really, really good, and the SBA's got all these incentives out there now, and what that means is for somebody looking to buy a business and using an SBA-backed loan, the SBA right now is going to pay their principal and interest for up to 6 months, up to $9,000 per month. There's not going to be any SBA fees. Loans can include some working capital to support operations. Loans from $250,000 to $5 million vary by product, and they're 10-year terms and up to 25 years if there's real estate associated with it. So from a business perspective, it's a great time to buy and take advantage of some of these opportunities. Now, you and I agree that this is not free money, as quotes, as it's said, and there will be a price to pay one day. But in the interim, this gives people an opportunity to buy some really great businesses and to become entrepreneurs. And that is truly the American dream, to live for yourself.
And philosophically, you and I agree, this is not really what government should be doing.
No,
government, first of all, with the reaction to the Wuhan, China virus and the whole disruption in the economy, they caused all this.
Yep.
And now this is the thing government likes to come in and say, we'll try to help you fix it. But this does seem like it could be an opportunity. Now, tell us just a little bit. Do you have you normally have a wide range of businesses that people can look at? Because I know you just kept working right through this reaction.
Yep. Yeah, we did. We actually ended up selling 90 businesses last year in 2020. Which is 10 more than 2019. And in quarter two, when all the shutdowns happened, we went from having 30-some deals on the board to 9. So quarter three and quarter four were just off the rails. It was great. The good thing is that the most of the businesses that we're seeing are the baby boomers who are ready to retire. So they've had their businesses for 30 years. There's nobody in their family that wants to take them over, or if the employees don't want to take it over, we take it to market. And there's some great opportunities, and they just want to see their businesses continue after they retire.
Well, yeah, and they care for their employees. They want that
Absolutely.
To continue on.
They want their employees to stay employed.
And you have this complete repertoire of people that you can help them
yep.
with.
Yep.
And although nothing is free, actually, the first consultation with you, there's no charge.
No cost.
Yeah,
that's different
no
from
cost.
Free.
Okay.
No cost.
So how can people get more information, Chris Cantwell?
They can call me at 844-SELL-BIZ, B-I-Z, 844-SELL-BIZ, or find all my contact information on the KimMunson.com website.
Well, it's great to have you in studio. Let's jump over here to Jason McBride, Senior Vice President with Presidential Wealth Management. Jason McBride, what is the future saying about the impeachment for today?
They don't seem to be too concerned about it yet. The futures on the Dow are down 67 points. Of course, Kim, that could actually change by the time the market opens. Now, we've got another indicator that we could talk about now, Kim, and that's the Super Bowl indicator, which we try to talk about every year.
Mm-hmm.
So this says that generally, it says when the NFC wins a Super Bowl, it's better for the market than when the AFC wins the Super Bowl. And if we go all the way back through all 54 Super Bowls up until this year, you know, the AFC and the NFC have both won 27 Super Bowls. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
It's an even split. And, you know, when during the times the AFC has won, the market has been down 10 times in the fall, you know, following year. When the NFC has won, the market's only been down 5 times. And the average percent down and the average gain has been about the same, no matter who has won, Kim. But so far, at least, when the NFC wins, it seems more likely that the market will rise during that following year.
Okay, well, you and I continue to talk about recommending a discovery session. Maybe it might be prudent. People need to talk with you about that. Taking some cash, selling into strength is always a great idea instead of selling into weakness. So I'd recommend people reach out to you, Jason. How can they find you?
Easiest way to do that, give us a call, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600.
Jason McBride, we will talk to you tomorrow.
All right, Kim, have a good one.
Thanks so much. We're going to go to break, and Chris Cantwell with Transworld Business Advisors is in studio. We'll be talking with Josh Phillip, and he is an award-winning investigative reporter with the Epoch Times, and he's the host of Crossroads. And he is he's really a journalist, I would say. And so stay tuned. We'll be right back. I've got some questions about what happened on January 6th, as well as what his thoughts are on the impeachment and the Democrats' strategy. Stay tuned.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out the website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at Kim at KimMunson.com as well. One of my great partners is in studio with me, and that's Chris Cantwell with Transworld Business Advisors. It's always great to have you in studio, Chris.
Thanks, Kim. Good to be here.
And excited to talk with Josh Philip. He is an award-winning investigative reporter with the Epoch Times and the host of Crossroads. Josh Philip, welcome to the show.
A real pleasure being here, Kim. Thank you.
You are busy, and this your Crossroads is so informative, and I see it is growing and growing and growing. Because Josh, it seems that your philosophy is really true journalism versus trying to get to the truth and clarity is what I see with your work.
I appreciate it. You know, my understanding of journalism, which I'd say is representative of Epoch Times, is the reason people read the news is because they just want to know what happened. You know what I mean?
Well, and I actually took journalism classes in school and had always thought I'd be a journalist, and it took me a long time to get here, although I'm really more a commentator and op-ed. But it's important that people understand that real journalism, as you say, is telling the story. And an example would be the president flew in on Air Force One and came down the stairs. That would be what happened. But then we see in journalism now how you can kind of change the what people are understanding. It could be the president flew in on Air Force One and he bounded down the stairs with great energy. Or the president flew in on Air Force One and he slowly walked down the stairs because he looked so tired or something. And I think that's important for people to understand, Josh.
Yeah, well, you know, of course, people want to get the news, but these days, especially where most people have already heard the news to some extent, it's true they also want to know how to understand and make sense of the news. So, you know, this is also one of the core parts of journalism. And that's a core part where it's very easy to twist things around if you're motivated to do so. And unfortunately, this has kind of become the way of doing things for a lot of outlets, you know.
Well, now that we've talked about that, I want to go to, I was watching one of your videos on Crossroads after the January 6th events at the Capitol, and you had a young Japanese journalist, a woman, on who I thought did some very interesting kind of investigative reporting on what happened there, and I thought it was super informative. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about that interview and your takeaway on that?
Oh, yeah, sure. That was an interview with Masako Ganaha. She's a Japanese journalist and really, really sharp, very, very keen. You know, you never guess. She looks very, like, small and, like, friendly, you know, but she's really sharp-minded, really good analysis. Masako pointed out a few things. She was doing video analysis of the January 6th breach of the Capitol, and she was specifically looking at, you know, evidence of radicals or organizations being involved there. What she was talking about in the video I had her on was specifically the people who were around a woman, Ashley Babbitt, who was shot by Capitol Police. Now, a few different points on this. This woman, Air Force veteran, I believe, climbed through a window that someone had broken and was shot in the neck by a Capitol Police officer, fell back, and of course, you know, I think everyone knows the story from there. Now, what a lot of people don't know is actually in the room she was in, there were actually 2 to 3 police officers standing in front of the window she had climbed through. There were 2 individuals who people were yelling at the officers, one of whom convinced, first off, you see them talk to each other and plan, looks like they're planning. One of them goes and talks to the officers and convinces them to move. And then one of the other individuals hands that first individual a black helmet, which he then uses to break this window. And then Ashley Babbitt climbs through and is shot. And at the same time, you have 2 to 3 heavily armed police officers right behind her. And so she was shot when you had, first of all, 2 to 3 normal guards in front of that door who had just moved and were standing right there. And 3 riot armed, you know, holding heavy rifle police right behind her. That was totally unnecessary use of violence from any practical standpoint. At the same time, too, you had these 2 individuals very obviously planning this. And after she's shot, one of those individuals goes down to the staircase where these officers had just walked up the staircase. And you can see him pull clothes out of his bag and start changing his clothes. In other words, this was professional. That is not normal behavior. You had planning between two to three individuals, visible on camera. You have the individual right after this happens go and change his clothes, meaning he came pre-prepared with the change of clothes, which as Michael Yon, he's a war correspondent, I also was talking with him, noted is actually very common tactics and procedures of Antifa. And then one of the individuals who was standing right next to these individuals, these two, was Mr. Sullivan, this man who was part of Black Lives Matter. He was a leader of one of these groups they had, and who, by his own admission, has ties, although he denies he's a member of Antifa. And these were the individuals right at the front lines of that whole incident.
I actually had an eyewitness on the show, I think on the January 15th show, and she had been at the rally and had gone over to the Capitol. And she said it was interesting when they got there that there were a number of individuals that were dressed in black. She said they had very thick wooden sticks, helmets, gas masks, milk to mitigate tear gas. And she said she's never seen anybody at a Trump rally come prepared like that. Any comments on that, Josh Phillip?
Well, so I was actually covering the speech Trump gave. I was in the media section and, of course, walked over to the Capitol afterwards. I was there the whole day covering it. I didn't actually go too close to the Capitol. I was in the parking lot. People were just taking selfies with me. I was dragging a big kit. Yeah, I was dragging a big camera bag. I mean, a big suitcase. But my movement was quite limited because of that. But the area I was at, everyone was very peaceful. I didn't see anybody who seemed like they were going to be violent or have problems. I mean, it was just very nice people, honestly. The only two individuals who concerned me was one woman who was trying to agitate the crowd very obviously as we were walking up, and she was trying to encourage people to block police cars, and she did not behave like a normal Trump supporter. Typically, Trump supporters are very positive on the police. This woman was like shouting curses about the police. And then there was another individual who came walking down shouting, saying they shot her, they shot her, they killed one of us. And actually, I got this individual on video. I had posted on Twitter, and he made me feel uneasy. And turns out this individual was one of those at the front lines of who was there when Ashley Babbitt was shot. I don't know what race he was. He's dark skinned, but a heavy British-ish sounding accent, and very. Not a normal Trump supporter looking individual, let's put it that way. And he was very obviously trying to agitate the crowd. You know, being a journalist, of course, someone just witnessed someone get shot and killed, of course you would expect them to be unhappy, emotionally distraught, and very concerned. But he was very seemingly obvious trying to agitate the crowd in anger about what had just happened. What really kind of concerned me was when I asked for his name, he gave me what sounded like a one word nickname type thing. And that's often what you find with these radical groups is they give themselves these like one word nicknames. The whole thing just didn't sit right with me. I can say the whole incident was very, very not normal as far as I saw it.
The narrative that we are seeing in the mainstream media, I think many people, if they heard this story, also if they listened to the eyewitness account that I had on the show, it's a very different narrative than what is being tried to push. And of course, impeachment starts this morning. And before we go to break, what's your comment on the mainstream media regarding getting this information out?
the mainstream media has been lying through their teeth. The narrative is that Trump supporters instigated all this. First of all, they're saying Trump instigated the breach of the Capitol building. That did not happen. While Trump was speaking at, right in front of the Washington Monument, people were already breaching the building, meaning that his speech did not instigate that. Two, FBI records show that there was pre-planning, meaning his speech did not instigate that. Three, the Democrat statements in terms of what they've been listing as his quotes are taken out of context, meaning they had to change the context to even create their narrative. For the individuals who actually breached the building and were charged, again, pre-planning, not organized. And the narrative on the violence is, you know, of course it's terrible. Five people died, but let's be clear. The only three of them died of health problems. One of them was shot unnecessarily by Capitol Police, which if that were the left, they'd be rioting all over the country right now. And the individual, the officer who died, CNN was reporting that he was beaten to death by Trump supporters. That turns out now to be a lie. They said he was beaten to death by Trump supporters with a fire extinguisher. No, that was not the case. There's no evidence whatsoever of that, meaning CNN has been lying nonstop about this. They retracted their statement. It seems now that he died of inhaling the smoke, meaning he was also killed by the response, the police officers. And somehow the blame on this, the violence, is falling on the people who are there, not the response. And the response would fall directly on a lot of the people who called them in. I wouldn't say which ones exactly, but you know, Pelosi would be among those responsible. And so the whole blame is ridiculous. The whole narrative is ridiculous.
One other question, Josh, before we go to break. And our eyewitness had said that when she went over to the Capitol, that basically there were maybe eight Capitol police there, and they kind of moved the barricade. And almost she seemed it was almost like invited people in. I don't think she went into the Capitol. But and it all occurred just as it looked like there was going to be the challenge to the Arizona electoral votes. It's so interesting on that timing. But I also think it's somewhat remarkable, I don't know what other word to use, that on that day that security was very light, but yet within less than 2 weeks, we now have the Capitol surrounded by a barricade with razor wire. What's your thoughts on that, Josh?
Yeah, well, let's be clear on a few points. So first off, where I was at, I was not close enough to the Capitol building to actually even see the barricades. I was just in the parking lot. And so eyewitness, I wasn't close enough to say. I did see videos of Capitol Police moving the barricades and very animately waving people into the building. There are videos showing them doing that. Number three, also there was allegedly a stand down order by the local government there that prevented there from being more police presence to guard, which if they were actually concerned about their safety, if there were these pipe bombs that were found, which were left there the night before, not instigated by Trump's speech, in other words, if that was the case, why would they not have heavier security?
Right. Yeah.
And at the same time, there was less guards there, and that was also an issue with the people who were dealing with the security of the Capitol building. I wouldn't say exactly who's to blame for that, but people in charge of the Capitol would have been to blame for that.
Okay. Josh Phillip.
So, in other words, someone had it in their interest to reduce security. Yes.
It's remarkable, and the question is why? That's your business, Josh Phillip. But let's go to break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation with Josh Phillip. I'd like to get his thoughts on impeachment, the impeachment proceedings, as well as what he thinks the strategy is. And before we do that, though, Castlegate Knife and Tool is another great partner of the Kim Munson Show. They're located in Sedalia, Colorado. And check out their website. It's castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. And they have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. And whether or not you're a collector, a sportsman, or a chef, it's the place for you. And Hal Van Herke, the owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool, says that they're bringing in some great new watches. And I don't think they're on the website quite yet, so you should probably go down to the store. It's a great store, and it's kind of a treat to do that. So again, castlegate.com. We'll be right back. Chris Cantwell with Transworld Business Advisors is in studio, and Josh Philip, who is the award-winning investigative journalist with the Epoch Times, and the host of Crossroads is on the line. We'll be right back.
Controlling your own destiny. There are a lot of unknowns on the horizon with the new administration. Predovich & Company is here to help. Trusted professionals for all your bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. They've been helping her for years. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company works with clients from anywhere in the United States. Give them a call at 303-791-3000 to put Predovich & Company to work for you. Call 303-791-3000 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Jay Sekulow, live, weekdays at 10 on KLZ 560.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I'm Kim Munson. Check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. In studio with me is one of my great sponsors, and that is Chris Cantwell with Transworld Business Advisors. Fascinating conversation, isn't it, Chris?
Absolutely. It's just, it's almost scary to know that all this goes on and people are just walking around thinking, everything's just great now.
Yes. Getting to the truth with clarity is one of our goals as we look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Josh Philip with the Epoch Times and host of Crossroads. Today, the impeachment proceedings start. And it's constitutionally, during an impeachment of a president, the Chief Justice is to preside. That's not going to happen. Chief Justice Roberts has refused. Donald Trump is no longer in office right now. So it's rather remarkable what's happening, Josh. What's your thoughts on this?
Well, what's happening right now is they're changing the way of doing things. They're changing the laws in order to have a very partisan attempt to impeach a former president. It's true. Chief Justice Roberts is not overseeing the impeachment. And under the Constitution, the Chief Justice is supposed to do that. The reason he's not doing it is because the Constitution doesn't support the impeachment of a former president. He's a private citizen right now. And so Chief Justice Roberts, based on the fact that it's unconstitutional for him to sit and oversee it, isn't going to do it because the Constitution doesn't back that. Instead, the Democrats are going to be the ones leading it. And, you know, as I mentioned on my show last night, if you and I mean, aside from the point that the Constitution doesn't support any of this, and honestly, the way they're basically making their argument, the Democrats, is they're saying, oh, we just believe the founding fathers in the writing of the Constitution, that they wouldn't allow for a president to make, you know, statements or commit crimes right before leaving office and not face charges for it. In other words, it's not something written. It's not a written law. It's purely their interpretation, not of a written law, but of the mindset of the writers of the Constitution. That's what they're basing it on. When it comes to what's happening, though, what you see them is basically creating laws to justify this. They're creating their own unwritten laws in order to move forward with this. And also, what you have is, as I mentioned on my show, if you and I were to go and sit for jury duty, they look for two things, right? They look to see, one, are you willing to look at the evidence and not have implicit bias in terms of your judgment? In other words, that they will ask the judge, as part of the vetting process for a jury, will ask you things like, you know, if the person chooses to remain silent, do you think he's guilty, he or she? And if you say, yes, I think he's guilty, the judge will excuse you because it shows that you're not willing to judge things according to the law of the United States. Now, they're already not judging things according to the law of the United States by this very action. In addition to this, if you were to apply, if you were going to, you know, be selected for jury duty and the judge is asking questions again, if you're on a big, high-profile case, they'll ask you things even like, did you read news stories about this? Have you been reading news stories about this? And so on. Because they want to make sure that you're judging things according to the evidence presented and not based on pre-form conclusions you already made based on things you've read in the news. Every one of them in a normal jury setting or, you know, judge setting would be excused. And they're moving forward with this very obviously politically fueled bias trial done where the Democrats themselves are judge, jury, and executioner of a private citizen. In other words, Trump has the same legal protections as you and I, and he is facing something right now that the Constitution does not stand for, and that in any normal legal proceeding, really, most of them would be excused.
What do you think the end game is on this, Josh?
Well, you know, I thought about it because they actually don't have the votes, or at least based on early voting. So Senator Rand Paul actually held an early vote on the constitutionality of what they're doing. Only 5 Republicans voted with the Democrats. Right now in the Senate, you have 50-50 vote, right? 50 Republicans, 50 Democrats. Technically, Kamala Harris, the vice president, is the tie-breaking vote, 51. Only 5 Republicans voted on the side of the Democrats when Rand Paul called a vote. Now, they need a two-thirds majority, meaning that they're, you know, 12 votes short-ish. Now, based on that, they don't really have a chance of winning this unless the Democrats, through presenting evidence, can convince those Republicans to switch, and there's no sign they're going to do that. Not only that, but if Trump stays within the boundaries of the Capitol riot and everything like that, just by stating the evidence we went over earlier in this show, the Democrats don't have a case. The case they're making only exists through altering evidence. They have to take things out of context. They have to cite untrue media reports, which are already debunked at this point, and they have to try to make a case that he incited the breach of the Capitol building, when even left-wing media have noted the timing of it doesn't align because people were already breaching the building while Trump was speaking. And actually, Trump was calling for peace. Trump called for people to even leave, actually. And Twitter deleted his tweets calling for peace and calling for people to leave.
Wow.
Meaning that his attempts to even quell things after things had started the way they did was suppressed by a big business. You know, this is the situation. You know, in terms of what they're doing this for, I've wondered that myself because they don't really have much of a chance of actually impeaching him. The only reasoning I can think of would be one thing, which is they want to create precedent. In other words, they want to have a historical precedent they can turn to later that lets them basically hold this, you know, political jury of a private citizen to do something that is not supported by the Constitution. They've created precedent now where they can do this.
That is a terrible precedent, Josh Philip. We have 2 minutes left. But no matter what side of the political aisle that you're on, this should cause you great concern that this is occurring here in the United States of America. We've got, like I say, just a little over a minute left. What's kind of the final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners today, Josh?
Well, you know, I've been saying on my show quite a bit that I think America's in a very dangerous situation. Not so much because of the social tensions. I mean, that is an issue, of course, too, but we've been under that even under Obama. But I think we're in a dangerous situation because people are losing faith in the integrity of the institutions, right? Lady Justice is supposed to have a blindfold on. She's supposed to carry her scales, right, weighing information and weighing justice. And she has a sword that she uses without seeing, right? She's Lady Justice, but wears her blindfold. Now, I think the problem we have with justice in this country right now is people don't believe that justice is blind. Justice is now looking at the color of your skin. Whether, you know, really we have, for example, a lot of people not being charged based on, again, race narratives. They're not looking at the color of your skin. Justice is not being weighed equally across political lines either. We've seen individuals very obviously having Antifa or Black Lives Matter ties who were arrested at the Capitol building and were let off. People don't believe that justice exists across all the say, spectrum of positions, that public officials have a different set of laws applied to them than do people like you and I. And really, government is a system of justice. Government is a system of laws. And if law is seen as something that only goes after a certain set of people and not others, then that's not justice.
Well, that is exactly right. And we can work to get this turned around. Josh Phillip with the Epoch Times and Crossroads, thank you so much.
Hey, real pleasure, Kim. Thank you.
And Chris Cantwell, Transworld Business Advisors, it's always great to have you in studio.
Thanks again, Kim. Great to be here today.
And our quote for today, you've all heard this, Lord Acton, he says, power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. You are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.